Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting introduces you to the candidates of the 2018 state election. Today we welcome Michael Diedrich. He is a state representative from District 34, and he joins us in SDPB's Black Hills studio inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio. Michael Diedrich, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Lori, and I want to thank SDPB for putting these programs on. It's very good for our citizens to hear the candidates talk about what's important to them and what they hear from other voters, and I appreciate that very much.
And we appreciate how many candidates have shown up for us to have and shown up for voters to have those conversations as well. Remind our listeners about how you sort of came to this office.
Well, I was appointed by Governor Dugard last year after the untimely death of Craig Teason, who was the representative from District 34. And so I served to fulfill one of the two sessions that were part of the term for which he was elected. And now I chose to run for the office again. I had intended to do that prior to that time and went through the primary. Now we're up to the general. I served in the state Senate about 25 years ago. I did three terms in the Senate and really enjoy the work, enjoy the people, and try to make a difference in people's daily lives.
Yeah, it seems like an easy thing to say, or a natural thing to say yes to for you with your public service history, but also having to sort of say it with a heavy heart as well. What was that sort of like for you to have to fill his shoes, you know, and really, you know, reach out to voters in that way, in a sort of a difficult transition?
Oh, that's an excellent question. It is difficult. I knew Craig Teason. We both worked for the city. He was the chief. I was a city attorney. We worked on a lot of things together, known him for decades, and had a lot of respect for him. I admired a lot of the things that he was able to accomplish, and know his family. And it was a difficult transition, emotional transition. And yeah, there are other appointees to fill spots vacated by untimely deaths in the House and in the Senate that experience those same emotions. And I hope that we can articulate them to each other as we work through it. Mm. We need to find our own identity, but also be respectful.
Right. So let's talk about some of the important issues. You know, should voters send you back to peer this election in November? What are some of those top issues that you think are important for the state legislature to address?
Well, the primary issue that I'm engaged in at this point in time is the access to behavioral health services in South Dakota, and what some characterize as the behavioral health crisis in South Dakota, or at least in western South Dakota. We are doing a summer interim study on that issue, and it's very complex, very deep subject with a lot of experts and a lot of information for us to digest. And other things that I hear about, and that's an issue that I heard about as I go door to door in my campaign, in the primary and in the general as well. One of the other things that I do here when I'm going door to door is economic development. And of course, that entails everything from education to workforce to healthcare to housing. And so that's a very broad topic. But those are kind of the two areas that have my attention at this point in time, and the attention of our voters.
Do you think that it is a crisis? Would you characterize it as a behavioral health services, you know, access a crisis, especially in West River?
I believe that West River it lacks some very necessary services and facilities, some treatment modalities. We don't have as many options as they do East River. And so as a result, the patients in West River, if we can't find the correct placement for them to provide them the best care in the right place, they end up needing to go either East River to the Human Services Center in Yankton, or to services in Sioux Falls, or sometimes patients move to Colorado or Wyoming or other states, which creates a huge barrier, because empirically it's well agreed that patients do best when they are in treatment programs in their own community, supported by their friends, their family, their church, and their community. And the outcomes are better, they're quicker, and the follow-up and continuation with it are much more effective.
Are some legislative solutions or ways to address the problem starting to emerge? And in your mind, at least, as you talk to voters, do you have a sense that, yes, there is something that we can do about this in peer?
Yes, I think there are some things, some ideas, and some trends that we are seeing that could lead to legislation. We don't know at this point in time what is a program or a collaboration or a facility. I don't think there is such thing as a silver bullet to solve the issue out here, but I do think that we will have some legislation, but I can't predict what it would be at this point in time. A lot of the solutions are related to local collaborations with school districts, with mental health care providers, with law enforcement. The impact on the county and law enforcement is very high, with the hospital systems and with engaging family members and friends in the community.
Let's talk about economic development with the notion of local collaborations, because it seems like from workforce development to education and housing, there are lots of room for partnerships as well. What do you think your role, should voters send you back to peer, can be from a legislative standpoint to encourage some of those collaborations and keep South Dakota moving in the right direction from an economic development standpoint?
Well, this one is kind of a two-pronged because it also addresses the behavioral health issue. One of those issues is the lack of a trained workforce to provide the services for the patients in South Dakota. We find that not only in the healthcare sector, but it's also in the industrial sector, it's in the service sector, it's in multiple sectors in South Dakota. So workforce development is a really important challenge for us to address in South Dakota. We are addressing it through our VOTEC schools and taking a look at providing good opportunities for students to enroll in those types of programs that are where they have their passion and where they can find work in their communities and remain in South Dakota and also provide an important service. So it's hard for us as a state to attract major industries or major industries that are either industrial or service providers when we don't have an adequate workforce. And part of that challenge as far as VOTEC goes is our VOTEC tuition rates are higher than our surrounding states. And so we need to address how do we make VOTEC school more affordable and how do we expose our students to the programs that are available. Some of the programs that I really like are our dual credit program, where students can receive high school credits and VOTEC degree credits simultaneously. And then if they choose to go to VOTEC school, they will have a shorter period of time in there. We have some good lending programs, tuition support programs, but I think there's more that we need to do in that area.
It seems that the dual credit is also directly targeted at keeping the cost of a four-year education at a state school down as well. Are there other efforts that the state could make to sort of keep those four-year degrees and address the disparity between how expensive and how much debt South Dakota college students graduate with?
Well, one of the biggest costs in their education is the facilities fee. And I know the regions stay up with this pretty well, but I'd be interested to know on what facilities, what brick and mortar do we really need? What brick and mortar can we retire and somehow either put to a different use, repurpose, or get rid of so that we don't have those costs? Because I believe one of the numbers I saw was that a college student's tuition, about $1,500 of that goes towards facility fees.
Interesting. Huh. All right. Any other thoughts? I mean, this will be a new legislature, a new governor will be coming in. What are the opportunities of really that transition, whoever ends up being chosen by the state of South Dakota voters to be governor? What are some of the advantages and challenges of a new administration?
Well, I think this is a very exciting time, and I'm very optimistic, and I know that all the people down there want to do things that make a difference in the everyday lives of people and make some big changes and some small changes. I think a new governor will look at all the agencies and all the programs and look at restructuring. I'm sure that regardless of which candidate becomes governor, they will have transition teams that will look at both sides of the issues and take all the information they can to see what changes they'll need to make. So I think we can expect some changes in agencies, and I think we'll see some changes in public policy that is led by the governor's office. The governor's office initiates and supports a lot of important legislation every year, and of course that follows the philosophies of the then sitting governor. So we'll see what our new governor's philosophies are. It's an opportunity to forge some new collaborations and new teams to work together to get things done. Mm-hmm. I think everybody just wants to do the right thing for South Dakota. It's how we define the right thing and how we get to that point is where the challenge lies.